How are you? Welcome to the Christians in Sport podcast. My guest today, Alison Nicholas, revolutionised Europe's approach to the Solheim Cup. When she became captain, which really in other sports is the boss, she was so unbelievably revolutionary in her approach that they beat America in the most amazing finale in 2011. You may not know who she is if you're not a golfer, and yet this woman has got a stellar record in her sport. As an individual player, she won 18 tournaments in Europe, in America, and other parts of the world. She won the US Open in 2007, the top tournament in the world. And she went on to be the finest leader of the women's European golf team in the Solheim Cup ever seen. This is a woman worth listening to. If you're interested in leadership, coaching, management, looking after people properly to get the best results, and if you've got any interest in thinking of the impact of your Christian faith on that kind of leadership in sport, Ali Nicholas is somebody you really need to listen to today.
The Christians in Sport podcast with Graham Daniels.
Early days, you start playing golf at 17, really. Your dad's a keen golfer. But you had aspirations to be a top-class tennis player, but something just triggered the move to golf, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I was a decent tennis player, but probably not good enough at that age, sort of 15, 16. But we decided to give it a go. My dad said, look, you know, let's try and play in a few tournaments, see how you get on. And then I went to play in the Manchester Open, and I got... paired up against Kate Brasher, who eventually went to Wimbledon, Junior Wimbledon. And I got hammered 6-0, 6-0. And I'm thinking, I think I need to think about this. And the fact that I couldn't really see her over the net was perhaps one problem. But we decided that, you know, obviously I wasn't good enough. And my dad just suggested that I'd have a go at golf. So we went up, had some lessons at a driving range with a guy called Richard Bennett, who's sadly not with us anymore. And I took it to like a duck to water. And my dad just turned to my stepmom at the time and said, she's going to be good. Became a member at Hallamshire Golf Club. And it just sort of went on from there, really. I got better and better and reduced my handicap ridiculously quickly to +2 in 4 years, which is ridiculous.
Absolutely mad.
But I did an awful lot of practice and, you know, had lessons regularly. So I was really, I think that was the key for me, because I got into some really good practice habits and good fundamentals straight off the bat. And I think, you know, that's really important, where a lot of people just go out and play straight away, don't have lessons and get into bad habits. And then, you know, it's very difficult to get out of those. So I was very fortunate with Richard. He's a good teacher. And I just loved competing. And my dad saw that, so he gave me the opportunity to leave school and see what I could do in the game.
Within 4 years then, by 83, you're British amateur stroke play champion. So it's an incredible speed. So you're obviously a natural. It's obviously terrific. But in 84, when you join the Ladies European Tour, you're a rookie, really. You're going in from scratch. How did you cope with that first year? You ducked to water, is your phrase for the golf. Did he just slide in and go? Was it fine?
Yeah, I mean, in back in the 80s, it was probably an easier transition than it is now, because you have to go through tour schools and all that sort of thing to get on the tour. So all I had to do was fill in a form, because my handicap was scratch or better, and I got an endorsement from two pros, and it went to committee and off I went. So I went to my first tournament. My dad caddied for me. And I came fifth in my first event. So, you know, obviously I was nervous about the transition. I was thinking, you know, am I going to be able to cope with this? Is it going to go well straight off the bat, or am I going to struggle for weeks and months and years? I don't know. So, but that obviously confirmed to me that I made the right decision. And we just went on from there. And I got a few wrong clubs for my dad that first week. But so I decided that perhaps it was better if I got someone else to caddy for me.
So your first act of leadership was to drop your dad from being your caddy, right?
Well, not completely. I mean, he was just doing it to help me out on the first occasion, and to, you know, just ease me into tour life. So it was just him encouraging me, really. And he knew that he wasn't going to be doing it for very long.
It's a very successful period. There's so much for us to take in that we can't stop at every juncture. the years 85 through 2000, so there's a 15-year window where you're in the top 10 for 15 of 16 seasons and you win 12 events on the tour in that period. So it's hugely successful. You'll go on and play in the States and we'll come to that. So it's a very successful period in European golf as an individual. Who were the key influencers? Laura Davis was around, obviously. Katrina Douglas, you knew at this point. Who were your key influencers in life and golf over those years as you grew to maturity as a senior player?
Well, I think, you know, all the people that you played on the amateur circuit with, it was like Laura, Trish Johnson, you know, Katrina Douglas. Being competitive against them and seeing them, watching them play, and you know, you want to always strive to be better. And I think they won before me, so you're always looking at them and learning from them. But, you know, I think all the players around you influence you in some respect, because, you know, you're trying to... You're not necessarily trying to beat them one-on-one, but, you know, you're trying to win tournaments. So you're always learning from everyone you meet. But Katrina was a big influence in lots of ways, more in life. You know, she had this sense of peace about her, and, you know, she seemed to be able to cope with every situation that she faced. So I learned enormous a lot from Katrina and became very, very good friends with her.
I'm interested in that link. This is the Christians in Sport podcast, and so is the passion for sport and top-level sport. Our listeners are people who play at the top level, coach, officiate, and people who have faith, and people who say, I've got no faith, but I like the Christians in Sport podcast. So for that reason, I wouldn't mind you elaborating a little bit on Katrina's faith as a golfer and its influence on you. In this period, where were you at in terms of any kind of religious belief?
Well, you know, I went to a very sort of high church school. I went to St Mary and St Anne's Abbots, Bromley. And, you know, we went to church three times a week, basically. So, and I got confirmed when I was probably about 13. So I did believe in God, but I think Katrina sort of elaborated on it and sort of brought me back. I went away from it. It wasn't a daily thing. It was just, you know, Sunday thing for me. And I became very good friends with her, and she just shared about her faith and her Christian faith. And I realised that it was a relationship with Jesus Christ, that it wasn't just a Sunday thing. It was every day. And she just shared her story with me. And I went along to a lot of Bible studies that she organised on the Ladies European Tour. I was quite a slow learner, I'd have to say. It took me sort of 4 years to really make a commitment to my Christian faith that I was going to put Christ first and live the Christian life out on a daily basis. And she just came alongside me and explained stuff to me. I could sense that she had this something about her that was very different, and she had a peace in her life that, you know, I wanted some of that. I thought she seems to be able to handle things so well, and whatever happened to her, it didn't matter, because her faith was very, very important to her, and she always looked to the future and everlasting life that comes on committing to the Christian faith. So very significant for me. It was probably the best decision I ever made. I struggled with it for a long time and struggled to understand it. And I didn't want to do it just because someone else wanted me to do it. I needed to understand the history of Christianity. I had lots of questions, which she answered most of them. And then I just decided to go on a journey of faith and commit to the Christian faith, basically. She asked me the question, she said, is there any reason you won't? And I said, I couldn't think of anything at the time. So I said, no, let's go for it. Mm-hmm. And probably the best decision I've ever made.
When was that?
That was in 89. It was in a caravan, because in those days, there wasn't a lot of money around on the Ladies European Tour, so a lot of the players had to travel in caravans and live in tents and all sorts of stuff. So we had our Bible study in a caravan, and that's where I finally came to that decision, and I've never looked back.
Well, if that's 89, that's the year you join the LPGA Tour.
Yeah.
So you go to the States. Lawrence Farmer is helping you with technique. Paul Darby, as you've mentioned, and this is groundbreaking stuff. You know, physio, exercises, stretching, way ahead of your time when you're on a big transition to playing in the States. You think, I've got to find new ways. I've got to find something different. I've got to get better. When you go then, I know those early years were tough and you thought of quitting, right? It really was tough early on the American tour.
Oh, it was. I mean, you know, obviously playing on the European tour, week in, week out, I was in the top 10 all the time. And suddenly I'm going into a very competitive environment where the levels of competitiveness has gone up, and they're just better and they don't make as many mistakes. So I'm suddenly a little fish in a big pond and I'm struggling to swim. I was missing cuts left, right and centre. You know, you make one mistake on the golf course, if you have a double bogey and a bogey, you just go zooming down the field. So it was tough. I knew that I needed to improve my technique and I needed to be fitter. And that's what I learned when I first went